რადიო თავისუფლება FM 107.4. ისრაელი და ჰამასის ექსტრემისტული დაჯგუფება შეთანხმდნენ სულ ცოტა 72 საათით შეწყვიტონ ცეცხლის შეთანხმების მიხედვით მხარეებს შორის ცეცხლის შეწყვეტა. სამშაბათს ადგილობრივი დროით დილის 8 საათიდან როიტერის ინფორმაციით მხარეები დათანხმდნენ ეგვიპტის წინადადებას ცეცხლის შეწყვეტის თაობაზე მას შემდეგ რაც პალესტინელთა დაჯგუფების ჰამასის და ისლამური ჯიჰადის წარმომადგენლები კაიროში შეხვდნენ ეგვიპტის დაზვერვის ხელმძღვანელს. ამ შეხვედრაში არ მონაწილეობდა ისრაელი. ეგვიპტის გეგმის მიხედვით მოგვიანებით კაიროში ჩავიდნენ ისრაელის და პალესტინელთა წარმომადგენლები, რათა შეთანხმდნენ ცეცხლის შეწყვეტის უფრო გრძელვადიან პერიოდზე. გაეროს გენერალური მდივანი პან კი მუნი მოუწოდებს აზერბაიჯანის და სომხეთის ძალებს ცეცხლის შეწყვეტის პირობების შესრულებისკენ. პან კი მუნის განცხადებაში ნათქვამია, რომ ის მხარს უჭერს ეუთოს მინსკის ჯგუფის მცდელობებს ვითარების დეესკალაციასთან დაკავშირებით. ნარამდე აზერბაიჯანის თავდაცვის სამინისტრომ განაცხადა, რომ ბოლო რამდენიმე დღის განმავლობაში 15 ჯარისკაცი დაიღუპა სომხეთის ძალებთან შეტაკებისას, მთიანი ყარაბაღის დე-ფაქტო ხელისუფლების განცხადებით კი მოკლეს მათი 5 ჯარისკაცი. ირანის ოფიციალურმა წარმომადგენელმა დღეს საჯაროდ განაცხადა, რომ ირანმა სარაკეტო ტექნოლოგიები მიაწოდა პალესტინურ ექსტრემისტულ დაჯგუფება ჰამას. მოსენ რეზეიმ ირანელმა მაღალჩინოსანმა ირანის სახელმწიფო ტელევიზიის არაბულ არხს განუცხადა, რომ პალესტინელთა წინააღმდეგობის რაკეტები ირანის მიერ ტექნოლოგიების გადაცემის ნაყოფია. რეზეიმ დაამატა, რომ ირანმა უნდა გადასცეს თავდაცვითი და სამხედრო ტექნოლოგიები პალესტინას, რათა მათ შეძლონ ბლოკადის პირობებში იარაღის შექმნა და თავის დაცვა. ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატების შეშფოთებას გამოთქვამს რუსეთის გეგმის თაობაზე აწარმოოს სამხედრო საჰაერო ძალების ფართომასშტაბიანი წვრთნა ასტრახანის ოლქში უკრაინის საზღვრის მახლობლად. ამის შესახებ ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატების სახელმწიფო დეპარტამენტის პრესმდივანი ჯენ საკი უწყება. მისი სიტყვებით ამ ტიპის წავლებებს პროვოკაციის სახე აქვს და მხოლოდ სიტუაციის ესკალაციისკენ არის მიმართული. რუსეთის თავდაცვის სამინისტროზე დაღრმობით იტარდა სიტყვობინება, რომ ორშაბათს ასტრახანის ოლქში აშულუკის პოლიგონზე დაიწყო სამხედრო საჰაერო ძალების წვრთნა, რომელიც 8 აგვისტომდე გასტანს. იაპონიის ხელისუფლებამ რუსეთის მიმართ ახალი სანქციები უნდა აამოქმედოს. შავ სიაში მოხვდა 40 ადამიანი, რომელთა შორისაა უკრაინის ექსპრეზიდენტი ვიქტორ იანუკოვიჩი, ასევე ყირიმის და აღმოსავლეთ უკრაინის თვითგამოცხადებული რესპუბლიკის წარმომადგენლები. ნავთობ კომპანია იუკოსის ყოფილი ხელმძღვანელი მიხეილ ხოდორკოვსკი არაპირებს რუსეთში დედის დაკრძალვაზე ჩასვლას. ხოდორკოვსკის პრესმდივნის ცნობით ეს გადაწყვეტილება უკავშირდება იმ გარემოებას, რომ რუსეთს ხოდორკოვსკის მიმართ ჯერაც არ მოუხსნია ფინანსური პრეტენზიები. ხოდორკოვსკის დედა 3 აგვისტოს 79 წლის ასაკში გარდაიცვალა. მას ორშაბათს 11 აგვისტოს დაკრძალავენ მოსკოვის ოლქის დაბა კორალოვოში. მიხელ სააკაშვილს და ვანო მერაბიშვილს პროკურატურამ ახალი ბრალდება წარუდგინა პარლამენტარის ვალერი გელაშვილის ცემასთან დაკავშირებით. პროკურატურის განცხადებით მიხელ სააკაშვილმა ვალერი გელაშვილის ფიზიკური ანგარიშწორება დაავალა საქართველოს შინაგან საქმეთა იმჟამინდელ მინისტრ ივანე მერაბიშვილს, რომელმაც დავალების შესრულება მის დაქვემდებარებაში მყოფი სპეციალური ოპერატიული დეპარტამენტის დირექტორის ერეკლე კოდუას ორგანიზებით მოახერხა. საქართველოს პრემიერ-მინისტრმა ირაკლი ღარიბაშვილმა განაცხადა, რომ არასამთავრობო სექტორის მუშაობაში ტენდენციურობას ამჩნევს. არასამთავრობო ორგანიზაციების საქმიანობაზე პრემიერმა გუშინ დიასპორული სტაჟირების პროგრამაში ჩართულ სტუდენტებთან შეხვედრაზე ილაპარაკა და თქვა, რომ მათ ვერ გაურჩევიათ სადგადის ობიექტურობის ზღვარი. პრემიერმა განაცხადა, რამდენიმე კვირის წინ საქართველოში ევროკავშირიდან ჩამოსული იყო ერთ-ერთი მაღალი თანამდებობის პირი, რომელმაც პირად საუბარში მითხრა, რომ შეხვედრა ჰქონდა წამყვანი არასამთავრობო ორგანიზაციების წარმომადგენლებთან და დარჩა გაოცებული, რადგან უთხრეს, რომ ისინი ემხრობიან მთავარ ოპოზიციურ ძალას, რადგან ის დღითი დღე სუსტდება. მთავარი არგუმენტაცია იყო, რომ სუსტის დაცვა სურთეს აბსოლუტურად დამახინჯებული მიდგომაა, თქვა ირაკლი ღარიბაშვილმა და დაამატა, რომ მზად არის ობიექტური კრიტიკისთვის, რადგან ეს გაძლიერებაში ეხმარება, თუმცა უსამართლო კრიტიკას ვერ მიიღებს. სოფლოს ერთ-ერთი წამყვანი იმუნოლოგი BBC-სთან ინტერვიუში იმედს გამოთქვამს, რომ ებოლას მომოკვდინებელი ვირუსის საწინააღმდეგო ვაქცინაციის შექმნა 2015 წლის შუაში იქნება შესაძლებელი. ექიმი ენტონი პაუჩი, ალერგიის და ინფექციური დაავადებების ამერიკის შეერთებული შტატების ეროვნული ინსტიტუტის დირექტორი, ამბობს, რომ ვაქცინაციის გამოცდამ რამდენიმე ხნის წინ წარმატებით ჩაიარა ცხოველებზე და მისი ხელახალი გამოკვლევა სექტემბერში დაიწყება. ამერიკელი ექიმების ინფორმაციით, ერთ-ერთი ამერიკელი ექიმის, კენტ ბრენტლის მკურნალობა, რომელსაც ებოლას ვირუსი დასავლეთ აფრიკაში შეეყარა, წარმატებით მიმდინარეობს და პაციენტის მდგომარეობა უმჯობესდება. მე ახალ ამბებს უსმენდით რადიო თავისუფლების ეთერში.
Welcome to Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. I'm Catherine Cole in Washington, and today my guest in the studio is a singer-songwriter called Sonia. She's also worked under the name Disappear Fear because that is what her music is all about. But Sonia is also more than just her song. She's an activist, and she's also an artist. She sings in several languages, Spanish, Hebrew, Arabic, and of course her native English. Sonia has been known to sing protest songs, but she's also been awarded a very special commemorative coin from the U.S. Army for her humanitarian songs. Her latest album is called Broken Film. I'd like you to start us off with a song from that one, please.
Spoken Film.
Turning, circles bending, life defines who be your friend till you stand under them. Never really know the glow of headlights on the road. Mark my time, tired eyes lowering to see you pouring red wine on the snow. Was all the talk we tamed confused with love unnamed? It changed when I needed you. You were only air. How can someone so alive who used to be your side, happy in a galaxy far away, starring in somebody else's play? Was all the talk we tamed confused with love unnamed? It changed when I needed you. You were only air. Dad on a cassette in an envelope. I didn't listen to it. That's between you and you. Was all the talk we tamed confused with love unnamed? It changed when I needed you. You were only as all the talk we tamed confused with love unnamed. It changed when I needed you.
Broken Film is the title track to your 17th album.
Yes.
17 is quite an amazing achievement. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Now, I'm going to call you Sonia because I've always called you Sonia, but it's Disappear Fear, which is really, how do you like to be addressed?
Well, you know, I started my music professionally, seriously, with Disappear Fear, which was me and my sister, and that was 27 years ago, actually. And then Cindy was leaving the band, and I wanted the Disappear Fear name to stay with that harmony sound, with a bigger sound. I was still always the lead singer primarily and always the songwriter. Wilco didn't change their name. They've been Wilco, and it's one guy, and it's been like a revolving door with everybody else. As you grow, I mean, as your songs change, as you write differently, and it, of course that should naturally happen, right? Roots and Branches. But anyway, so I became Sonia. And the reason why I didn't use Sonia Rutstein was because Rounder at the time said, marketing-wise, nobody knows who Sonia Rutstein is, and we got to get Disappear Fear back in the title. They didn't really say it that way. They're very kind, actually, and loving. But they said, let's try and make it Sonia of Disappear Fear instead of Sonia Rutstein of Disappear Fear.
Well, I remember that slogan for a long while. Right.
So it's been both things. And now, you know, this CD, I love the way all the musicians came together for it, and there's a lot of harmonies on it, and it's a much more, shall we say, accessible sound. It's not a blues CD, like, it's not one of my world music ones, you know, it's really the essence of me and the sound of Disappear Fear, so I'll go with that.
Well, it does kind of harken back to those early records a little bit, but
yes.
It's evolution. I mean, it's not those early records.
Yeah, I couldn't have written those songs 17 years ago, 20 years ago. I had to write them. They're written really in the past 2 years, all of them.
Well, for everyone who has not followed your career or didn't listen to the interview that we did, I don't know how many years ago it was, but Cindy was singing with you then. However, yeah. She was getting ready to stop singing with you. Does that help?
Yes,
date
yes
when
that
we did
been,
that last
That would have been
interview?
The early 90s. Cindy stopped singing with me all the time in 96.
Okay.
But Dylan, her first son, was born in January of 94. And actually, our Rounder record came out in June of 94. It was insane.
Well, I think I'm going to say that it was probably around 96.
Okay.
Maybe.
She's on that. That CD.
Okay.
My life is in CDs. that would be Seed in the Sahara.
Okay.
And it's not a bad life, though, actually, when I think about that. It's a good life. Yeah, that would be Seed in the Sahara. And yeah.
Well, that was the first interview that we did, and then we did a little one early in 2013.
Yes.
But there was a bunch of years in between then, so fill in the gaps. Actually, start at the beginning. I associate you with the East Coast of the United States. Have you always lived here?
I haven't. In 95, me and my partner went out to California, and we lived in San Francisco and Berkeley. I was out there for about 2 years because it was my dream to just sort of have my little lesbian cozy marriage out in a little cozy little house out there. And we did, it was my dream, and it just didn't really work out the way I thought it would actually at all. Because I had all of that, and I really missed my friends. I missed my family on the East Coast. I missed my band. I love being on the West Coast, but I think I'm an East Coast girl. Whatever that is. I don't know if you know, I don't know what it is. But
so it was sort of an extended vacation, and then you came back.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've spent quite a bit of time out there, recorded out there. We did see it in the Sahara in Hollywood, and in fact, I stayed with Roy in Malibu. It was awesome. Roy Bittan produced that CD of the E Street Band, and that was a lot of fun being out there and doing that then.
Have you always been a writer?
Yes. Ever since Stephen Berkowitz in 10th grade said, wow, you know, he wanted me to be part of my high school literary team. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah, you got some cool stuff. That was the beginning of my writing. It was very disjunct and very obtuse because I wanted to be myself, but I didn't want anybody to know who that was. That was very scary. So I would just, words were a great, great way of, you could really play with words and say like seven things at once that meant different things. And so I would go, yeah, that's what that is, you know, but the essence of it. And sometimes people would point out, which still happens, you know, as a writer to writer, the interpretation can be quite different. Am I going off to in La La Land too much?
No.
Sorry.
No. I mean, I have other friends that say to me, people will come up after hearing a song and tell them what they think it means. And oftentimes they're nowhere near what the original writer intended, which is fine. Sometimes, you know, a cloud is just a cloud.
Yes, yes.
Sometimes it can mean other things.
Yes, yes. And in writing, really, once you've done it, it's everybody else's anyway, so... Yeah.
I mean, isn't it all about to make us think anyway?
Yeah, well, it's, yes. And that's really actually, that's a big part of my writer development and hopefully my human development as well. To be very honest, to be able to figure out in a song what it is I'm trying to say, and to have people get that in a room where that's not maybe someone's experience, but if you find that place in someone, in the song, in the words, in the story, you can touch people and it's an amazing thing because really my audience is really all over all ages, you know, I remember early on this guy coming up to me. All these Harleys had driven up to the show I had in Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, and I think it was in New York. And it was clearly a really tough motorcycle gang. And one of the guys started coming over to me. I was just taking a breather outside before I went back on and said, "Sonia." And I was like, "Yeah." He goes, "Will you play for Hollywood? I will." I'm like, "Yeah." I mean, they were there to see me. And it was like, that was a big, wow.
With a motorcycle gang.
Totally. I mean, it's like, yeah. I mean, you could, yeah.
Because that might not be what people would think of as your typical audience.
No, I mean, but that's it too. I mean, it's like, you know, of course, I made a career with folk festivals and folk music, but there's a lot of people like from all over. It's really where the bling, where you really get the air exposure, because that's why the internet's been so awesome and other forms of not just commercial radio, because they're there and they're like, my music and my whole work is about disappearing fear and mm-hmm. whatever that is for each person. And so there's all these different levels of it. Even when I'm singing in English, I did a show in part of a women's conference in Helsinki a couple of years ago, and these women only spoke Russian and I think it was Lithuanian. And I'm doing this song called "Won't Let Go," a song that I wrote for my dad. And there's just, and they don't, I don't think they knew a word of it. It was so hard to, but they got it. And I love that. Yeah, that is, they got every word of it. I'm not understanding most of what they were hearing.
Just the emotion.
Yeah.
How do people find you? You know, you were talking about the internet opening up whole new worlds. Is it word of mouth?
Yes, I think word of mouth is a big part of it. The internet, of course, we just got a Disappear Fear phone app, which is free.
How much music is on that app?
We have, actually, on the app, you can get over 40 free songs. I have like 2 or 3 samples from 15 of the CDs.
And videos?
And videos, too. Yeah, everything's like very easy to use. It loads fast, and it doesn't bog down your phone either. If you're worried on the techie end of it like going slow or taking up too much space, it doesn't do that.
Available on all platforms.
Yes.
So
yes.
People can find it how?
It's on disappearfear.com, my website, and go to the news page and click on the Mob Base link. It's
but not right this second. If you're listening right this second, stay with us because there's going to be more music. In fact, give us another song right now.
Okay. Maybe I should do the one for my dad.
Okay. And tell us a little bit about your dad.
My dad was amazing. My dad was the only person to do Marco Polo's entire journey. And he did quite a few presentations at the Smithsonian here in D.C., sharing photos and videos. And not the only person. The only person to do it in its completion, as closely as we figured, to the way Marco did it. Because the end part of it, after you get through the Hindu Kush and Pakistan mountains, on the other side of that is Western China's nuclear testing ground. He did it in 3 parts, 75, 80, 85. I met him when I was in Israel for the first time because Marco Polo went there as well. From Venice to Israel to Cyprus. He was on the Greek side of Cyprus and needed to get to Turkey. Thank goodness he got on the right boat. That went like this, he said. You know?
Oh, my goodness.
And so, and he has a book about it, too, actually, in the footsteps of Marco Polo, and the Odyssey of Marco Polo, which is also available in places, even though he's not here anymore. But I wrote this song to him because he talked to me about opening up music. My mom loves music, but classical music and very figured out. And I like music that's free, too. Mm-hmm. It's good to do the homework, but it's nice when it can be freer, and my dad helped me develop that, I think. He saw that in me. Won't Let Go is what it's called. The very first time I was learning to ride, without training wheels or you by my side, down a steep hill I took a right. There was a car coming at me and one from behind. And you said, "Don't let go, just hold on. Keep your eye on the road and your heart in the song. Whatever happened is already gone. Don't let go. Don't let go." Then when I was 10, gave me a guitar, and I said, "Dad, I'm gonna be a big star." And you said, "Son, you better practice real hard." But to me, you already are. Don't let go, just hold on. Keep your eye on the road and your heart in the song. Whatever happened is already. Don't let go.
got you checked out. See what that headache was really about. Oh, when he returned, I feared news would be bad. Now I'm saying these words to you, Dad. Don't let go, just hold on. Keep your eye on the road and your heart in the song. Whatever happened is already gone. Don't let go. And I heard your voice, and all my fear disappeared. And I know exactly why we are here. It's for this moment to recognize that you will always be by my side. And I won't let go, I'm holding on. Got my eyes on the road and my heart in the song. Whatever happened is already.
Sonia is visiting with us in the Root studio this week. Your dad sounds like quite an adventurer, quite an amazing guy.
Thank you. I think so, yeah.
Did he hear that song?
He did. He did, and I played it for him. He passed away, but he did hear it, and he loved it. I played it for him, I think, for the first time on his 80th birthday, actually. And he loved it.
Now, what did he think of your grand adventure off conquering the world?
You know, he was amazing. He's from Baltimore. He was born and raised in Baltimore. He spent the last second half of his life actually in Seattle, created a new life for himself with a new family, a couple of half-sisters, and my stepmom's out there, who was half his age when they got married. It was one of those 50-25 deals sort of thing, 26, I think she was. He got a scholarship to go to the Maryland Institute of Art early after he was in the Army. But my mom didn't want that. She wanted a much, because it's a crazy life as an artist, such a roller coaster. And so he didn't do that. He pursued other interests, which was electronics and radiation. He worked at the Hopkins Lab, I think, in radiation for a while, then developed his own company. But he always loved music, and he played a lot of harmonica. And that part in that song, children stay in the middle of the road. Children stay in the middle. Don't turn to the right. Don't turn. Stay. That's part of that. And he used to play harmonica, too. He loved, like, bluesy gospel stuff. And we were traveling, you know, on the vacations we were on, and he loved to just, you know, take us up to New York and see something. And he was a great traveler. True Sagittarius.
So you came about your wanderlust naturally, honestly.
Yes. Moving, traveling, seeing, meeting people, kind of wondering out, kind of figuring out sort of how it fits together and still figuring out how I fit into it.
You sort of have to be like that for your job, right? I mean, you couldn't be really a sedentary singer-songwriter.
No, but I do. Now, one of the things that's really important to me is to give other up-and-coming singer-songwriters a chance and then to meet up with friends on the road. So, you know, doing different things and also teaching. I kind of get serious with it and really see, okay, this is going to happen here, this is going to happen here. Plan a little bit better because there's an ending point. And as my feet get more entrenched in the ground, I realize that it's important to sort of plan that out and be a little bit more. My name means Rutstein, means roots. The name Rutstein, I just learned this recently when in visit to Germany, means cornerstone. The Rutstein means cornerstone of a building. Which I never really hear it or see it. So I'm looking at the word roots behind you, Catherine, so I'm thinking, ah.
That's interesting. So you are a cornerstone, though, in this business. In a way.
Yeah. Aqueduct.
Well, it's better than some things you could choose to call yourself, I suppose.
Yes. And I like the idea of it, too, because I present, I think, sometimes really like, what? You know, like very flaky and, you know, airy and stuff. And and my name is the complete opposite of that. I was like, so maybe I should embrace that more.
Well, you could give it a try, but then you can always just pick up and go if you don't like it.
Yeah.
So we found out that you were about 15 or so when you started writing seriously. Was music always something that you loved, or did that come after?
No, always. Mm-hmm. I used to take the guitar off the wall when we grew up. My dad made like a stucco basement in mm-hmm. a Spanish cellar, and we had a little martini, which I actually is a very awesome company, which I finally saw. There's a company actually that still makes classical guitars called Martini out of Spain. I played guitar and sang and sang songs I knew and ones I was making up. And at some point, like around 13, I was like, wait a minute, I should maybe learn like really where these go and maybe how
this
happens.
Right, the real way to do it.
Yeah.
But that's not as much fun.
Well, it was. I mean, because then you want to go, I can do this. And then I was like, I want to create that note.
And I guess you have to know the correct notes in order to really play with other people.
Well, this is the type of business that will, if it's working, people will stay. Mm-hmm. And I guess people could be laughing at you. My friends did when I first started writing my songs, which is why I took poetry from like 17 magazine and stuff and would start to just put music to that.
Right.
Because my personal stories were making people laugh, and they weren't making me laugh at all.
Oh, that was not your intention.
No. And I'm just figuring how words come together
Well, who were you listening to at the time? Who were you listening to and watching?
In high school.
Yeah. Were there any role models?
Well, I loved Joni Mitchell. Mm-hmm. But Joni is Joni, you know. Yeah. Like, then they weren't my songs. They were her songs. And there were some big differences. So I listened to the Grateful Dead. I listened to the Moody Blues. I listened to Simon and Garfunkel. I liked Cat Stevens. I'm thinking of the songbooks that my brother would buy for me.
Basically listening to everything that was popular.
Yeah. I mean,
they were good songs.
And then Phil Oakes, that was like, whoa. He was a whoa, a big whoa. Like, wow, you can say that in a song? Cool. That's the ticket.
Well, that was your first exposure to somebody that was a little bit left of center.
Very much so. It was easy to get a CSN song or even a Dylan mm-hmm. song on the radio, but Phil Oakes was like, whoa.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And also, I guess just his music, his voice was a little weird, and I think mine was. I'll go with that in a good moment. I can even say is, because my voice, it's a way of me putting these songs over. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not a Taylor Swift. It's not a Beyonce. And I don't mean what you can train it to do. I mean, because you can work and sing pretty awesome, you know, but it's never going to have the tones that Andrea Bocelli has.
We're talking with Sonia from Disappear Fear about her music this hour. She mentioned Phil Oakes being a big influence. In just a couple of minutes, you'll hear her singing one of his songs, along with a few more originals, of course, and we'll get a songwriting lesson in the next half hour, too. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on the VOA Music Mix Network.
Thank you.
Well, hello again from Washington. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on VOA Music Mix. My guest today is Sonia from Disappear Fear, and just a couple of minutes ago, you heard her talk about the late Phil Oakes and what an inspiration his songs had been when she was getting started as a writer and as a singer. Well, a couple of years ago, she recorded an album of his songs called Get Your Fill, and that is where you will find Changes. This is Sonia on Roots and Branches.
As close as the air, sharing a memory of great, wander in my words and dream about the pictures that I played of changes. Green leaves of summer turn red in the fall, brown and to yellow they fade, and then they have to die, trapped within the circle time parade of changes. Scenes of my young years were warm in my mind, visions of shadows that shine, till one day I returned and found they were the victims of the vines of changes. The world spinning madly, it drifts in the dark, swings through a hollow of haze, a race around the stars, a journey through the universe, a blaze with changes. Moments of magic will glow in the night, all fears of the forest are gone, but when the morning breaks, they're swept away by golden drops of dawn. Changes. Passions will part to a strange melody, as fires will sometimes burn cold, like petals in the wind. We're puppets to the silver string of souls of changes. Your tears will be trembling, now we're somewhere else. One last cup of wine we will pour, and I'll kiss you one more time, and leave you on the rolling river shores of changes. So sit by my side, come as close as the air, sharing a memory of gray, wander in my words, dream about the pictures that I play of changes.
So there you are, you've gotten yourself through high school, and it's time to go off to college. You're not a music major, though.
Actually, I did ethnomusicology as a minor, and my major was film, because I thought I'd be writing music for film, which I've done some of.
Sonia and I found out last year that we actually were in the same college at the same time, living in the same dorm.
Yes.
And the only way we realized this was on Facebook, looking at pictures of a huge snowstorm that was in Boston.
Yes.
That we realized we were in the same dorm.
Yes.
At the same time.
Yes.
Because our view of the storm was exactly the same.
Right.
But, you know, we were in the same school, if that was the case, because I was in the journalism department.
Okay, I was undeclared.
Imagine that. You were in the film department, though.
Yes.
You're taking film classes.
Yeah,
so we
obviously saw
each other often without knowing it.
That's true.
Which is pretty funny.
It is.
Because then we saw each other 10 or 15 years later when I interviewed you.
Yes.
So there you were in Boston, which is not only the greatest place, Boston, Massachusetts, the greatest place to go to college because there are 18 million other students, mm-hmm. but what a music town.
Yes.
And that was when you could hear everything. We
yes.
had punk bands coming through. We mm-hmm. had pop bands. We had jazz. We had classical. We had bluegrass. We had folk music.
Classic,
we had
yeah.
everything.
Yeah, yeah.
And where we lived was right near the big punk club and right near the decent folk club and right near the rock club
right.
and right near everything. And tickets were cheap and you were a student and you could
yeah.
get in.
Yeah.
So did you spend a lot of your time listening to music?
We went out a lot. Yeah, we did. We did. It was crazy. Although I did that more first semester, the first semester there and less the mm-hmm. following semester because I needed to bring my grades
yeah.
up.
Well, that's pretty common,
but,
I think.
It was awesome. And I saw, like, the Joffrey Ballet for the first time there. And they had, like, really good packages that you could get of...
For students.
For students,
yeah.
Yeah,
that's what being a student is all about, right?
So
exposing
good.
Yourself to other stuff and,
yes.
and listening and growing.
And for me, being in an urban city for the first time.
Right. Me too.
But there's a big difference between crossing the street in New York and crossing the street in Boston, because mm-hmm. in Boston, they'll stop.
So that was all this music coming at you. Is that when you set off on your own course and said, I can make my own?
This friend of mine, David, who, he was James Taylor and I was Joni Mitchell. And, you know, I got some underground stuff, tapes that they had done from her time in Greece. And so it was like the real Carrie and Night in the City and all that stuff. And David's voice actually really sounds a lot like James Taylor. And he really helped me with what I was doing, too. And we did harmonies, and I sang on some of his songs. He sang on mine. We were just really starting to write. He ended up going into film, really. And I think he did a year of the music thing, but it was way too a hobo existence for him. Not for me.
Because no. you're still doing it.
That's right.
The new album, which we have sort of neglected to mention, is called Broken Film. And I've got to ask you about the title, because I love the idea of it.
It's another father thing, in a way, a moment of that. My stepmom gave me a box of cassettes and 8mm films that my dad had taken. And on one of the films, I think it was my sister's birthday party, like 6-year-old birthday party, it said broken film and pencil on the plastic little reel. And I just saw it, and I was like, and there have just been things that have happened between me and Cindy, first having the band and then her doing different things and coming back. I didn't find another harmony singer because I always thought she would come back and do music with me. Mm-hmm. And it just dawned on me like 2 years ago that she's not going to do that. I left the position open for 18 years. Yeah. And so I just really was processing all of that, you know, changes that happened, to look back, a look close, mm-hmm. and let myself look at it. That's the essence of the title. Let's do another one from that one. This goes out to my father-in-law, Don. Not a bank, it's a banker. Not a paper, not a symbol. Not a building, not a bubble. Just some patsy human being. Not a bank, it's a banker. Not a paper, not a symbol. Not a building, not a bubble. Just some patsy human being. This is the story of a middleman's life. Loved baseball, bowling, and banging his wife. And they had two children, Rick and Jane. And they shared their love, kissed away their pain. And every day the bills come in. And middleman pays the best he can. Now only bones are left of him. Cause he gave the banker all of his skin. 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 Little man believed in free will. Knows the credit card is not a magic pill. And when they found a house, the bank said buy it. Unaware of the banker's insatiable diet. And every day the bills came in. Money became his true religion. There's not one law protecting him. Cause he gave the banker all of his skin. Gave the banker all of his skin. How did the banker reward him? Raised his rate to 3 times 10.
the holy bank of Taj Mahal. Bank of the royal untouchable. We're in an endless rain of selfish gold. And stole the American middleman's soul. Now only bones are left of him. 'Cause he gave the banker all of his skin. 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 The little man had not a greedy hand. He was an honest Joe like a Campbell's soup man. But he lost his job and mama got thin. And when they took his house, turned to a life of sin. He held up Rahid at the local store. When I win my millions, I'll pay you back more. But that day God forgot to keep score, and middleman died in a puddle on the floor. And every day the bills came in, money became his true religion. There's not one law protecting him. He gave the banker all of his skin. 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 Not a bank, it's a banker. Not a paper, not a symbol. Not a building, not a bubble. Just a bad seed human being. Not a bank, it's a banker. Not a paper, not a symbol. Not a building, not a bubble. Just some bad seed human beings. Not a bank, it's a banker. Not a paper, not a symbol. Not a building, not a bubble. Just some bad seed human.
We're talking today with Sonia about her latest CD, which is called Broken Film. The song is The Banker. When you're teaching songwriting to people, how do you talk to them about writing political songs or songs about current events?
Well, one, you don't want it to be too long. You want it to be true. It may or may not have a long shelf life. You kind of wish sometimes it had a much shorter one. I'm still doing Phil Oak songs and stuff about issues that were quite political or humanistic, as I like to say, from the 60s and still very much true in certain places, maybe everywhere, because that's where fear is and that's where it goes. So it's a good question. I really don't, I don't know. I only thing I can do is dissect it song by song. I taught a songwriting school at the Kerrville Folk Festival a couple years ago, and I found the best way to do it, because I don't know. So what I did was we dissected the song, for lack of a better way of saying it, dissected, Me Too. And I went through my process of it, which for some people would be considered a political song. For some people would be considered a heart song.
Maybe we should play the song off one of your records. Or do you want to sing it? A little bit of it?
Yeah.
Why don't you sing a little bit of it, and then you could talk about that bit that in particular.
Okay. Well, it was a process. You know, the song really came from my life experience and my wife's experience, who just talked to me about her dad being a soldier in the Vietnam War and he served three tours in Vietnam. And yet he encouraged her. I mean, she wore POW bracelets and would write checks to buy them and drove her to, he was in the Marine Corps. I mean, he was very involved and he was a career man and he was a wonderful, wonderful person, giving his life to this country and leading so many people. And Terry's upbringing was different than mine. I watched the Vietnam War on television more so. I didn't have anybody except my uncle was in the Navy, and we would write letters and stuff, but I really didn't know very much. But she lived it, lived through it. So quite different. And so I just really took words from her and said her daddy was a soldier. I'll play a little of it.
Okay.
And we'll see. We could do even a stop and go if you want.
Well, whatever you think it's a good way of explaining.
Okay. Because you never get to do this.
Yeah.
Which is the difference between a good song and a song that you need to explain, not so good.
Okay.
Because you can't do that on a CD.
Right.
But here we can do it.
Sure.
It's wonderful.
I love it.
And
some it's a treat for me.
Are far more complicated. Her daddy was a soldier in the Vietnam War. She was proud to see her father in a fresh-pressed uniform. He came home on a stretcher in 1966. Welcome by fellow Americans, throwing tomatoes and sticks. Now, she was six.
Mm-hmm.
She was at Fort Ord, and that was pretty scary. And they were throwing the tomatoes so it looked like for drama, for the media.
Sure.
He didn't have blood on the outside of it, what he was wearing, but he was, on a stretcher. I mean, horrible.
Right.
And that's the first time she's seeing all of this, too. So
that was scary. It must have been very scary.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, when you're six years old.
Yes.
Right.
Yes, so.
It's scary on a lot of levels because there's your big, strong dad, first of all.
Right.
Not being big and strong and tall.
Right.
Right.
Right. And then I think it just goes right into the chorus, which, but America shines in front of me, and all the world could see if they wanted to. I'll raise this flag for you. And this is, me too. This sort of sets up the song in that, he doesn't say, my country did this bad thing to me. Marines never say that. They say, what else can I do? Who needs help?
Yes.
My vision of all of that was that I thought they wanted a war. They wanted to have this like macho aggression kind of thing going. That is not the way it was at all. In fact, if you are that way, you can't even get in. But that's what I thought, because that's what it looked like in my world, So it's like,
sure, from just seeing it on television and not knowing.
Yeah. Yes, yeah. And seeing that. So I was the opposite end of it, when the truth really was is that it was to make it so that people there could have a life like a good life, like have their children get a good education, take them for an ice cream.
That they were fighting for that,
yes.
Not just fighting for the sake of fighting.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I didn't understand. And so that chorus sort of says, but America shines. It's sort of like the flag is really for everybody. Then the girl grows a little bit. She grew up on a Bible. She grew up on love. She grew up thinking she could change the world if she only worked hard enough. So she became a lawyer, hoped to marry a good-looking man. But she fell in love with the girl next door, so that wasn't part of the plan. It's like, whoa. Where'd that come from? I did that song live on the radio in Texas one time, and the DJ finished the song and basically said, thanks for coming by. Bye-bye.
Oh, no.
I was like, oh, why did I do that song? Because I was supposed to have a 15-minute, 20-minute interview, and I did that one, and I was wearing a hat, and he goes, great hat. See ya.
No.
And I was killing myself. It's like, what an idiot I am. But what happened was people called in, loved it. I got asked back the next year to do
it again. Wonderful. The people spoke, and you were back.
And I was back. So, okay. Then another chorus, and then there's a bridge that goes, well, the years spin by, the corn grows high, for every train you catch, you miss one. So much of life just races by, it was time to tell Daddy this one. And this is where I got stopped when I was writing it, because I didn't know where it was all going to be. And I wrote a lot of different endings. I wrote a lot of different things. And then I just saw it. And it was a real epiphany, because she wants to share with her dad her biggest hero and many people's heroes. And yet she didn't want to lose him. She didn't want him not to love her. So here it is. She sat down in the corner. She could still see the door. She said, Daddy, I gotta tell you something. I've never said before. And he said, shh, everybody has a war. You see, it's not about oil, and it's not about guns, and it's not about rainbows. It's about daughters and sons. If you believe in tomorrow, and I have taught you well. 'Cause if you don't believe in yourself, life's a living hell. And you'll always shine, back to the chorus, in front of me. And all the world could see if they wanted to. I'll raise this flag for you. I'll raise this flag for you. Me too. So it was like she was going to do it, and then he just says, shh, I know where you're at. I know what you're going to say. And it doesn't matter, because it matters who you are. It matters. So,
thank you for taking us along on that process. That's pretty cool.
Cool. Anytime, any song.
That's really interesting, because for those of us that are not songwriters, we don't understand how your minds work, really. Was that a long, drawn-out process for that one?
That song probably I wrote over the period of about 6 months. It might have even been closer to a year. Oh, I should mention one other thing,
okay,
too.
Okay.
I received a coin of honor after doing that song. It was in Germany, and there were members of the Air Force and the Army there, and they gave me the coin of honor. In fact, I might even have it with me because I keep it in my guitar case.
We'll have to take a picture of it if you do.
Yeah.
Was that at a base?
No. I didn't get permission quick enough to perform on the base, so someone had me do a house concert, and it was wonderful, and I was so surprised. But they
That's
said it was for my humanitarian songs before and after DOMA.
You've spent a lot of time traveling the world with your music. Language barriers be damned. Right?
Yes, exactly. It doesn't matter. What matters is our hearts. What matters is our humanity. Because ultimately, I think we all want the same thing.
Well, let's have one more song, and then we will let you go.
I'm thinking of Start, because we kind of did a little bit of that today. This I'll dedicate to Jason, USMC, in Afghanistan right now, and his troops with him, and also Kearns, who he helped save his life. He was hit and lost one arm and two legs, and this song was very much inspired by him. I wrote it with Klaus Kaprani, I said it right, in Denmark at a songwriter retreat last year. Tommy was watching some TV on a very ordinary afternoon. A young man was talking to children, said something about reaching for the moon. And the children listened intently, 'cause the man had one arm and no legs. My country made me a soldier, Afghanistan can't take that away. Don't have to carry this load on my own. No one's an island and no one's alone. And I don't need hands to hold somebody's heart. I don't need plans. I just need to start. Bedroom desk in a corner, all covered with dust and neglect. Tom found a brown square of paper with the number of the daughter that he left. Dear Dad, if you're reading this letter, then I'm reaching for you from the sky. I never told you I love you. Never will that mean goodbye. I don't have
to carry this load on my own. No one's an island and no one's alone. And I don't need hands to hold somebody's heart. I don't need plans. I just need to start. Sat back down in his easy chair, took one good last gulp of beer. A poet, a painter, a lover, a son, a convict, an addict, a hero of one. And as the tears fell from his eyes, he realized it's civilized. What makes a hero a man? I don't have to carry this load on my own. I'm mostly made of water, not stone. And I don't need hands to hold somebody's heart. I don't need plans. I just need to start.
Hope you enjoyed the program and my visit with Sonia of Disappear Fear. If you would like to get in touch with her, just go to soniadf.com, and that is spelled SoniaDF.com. If you want to write to me, the email address is roots@voa.gov. That is roots@voa.gov. And apologies if you tried to reach me last week or the week before and you didn't get a reply. Things were kind of screwy here. Mail wasn't reaching me, so do give it a try now. I'm Catherine Cole. This is Roots and Branches on the VOA Music Mix Network.
მსახურობენ ქართველი ჯარისკაცები მსოფლიოს ცხელ წერტილებში.
სამშობლო, ღირსება, ერთგულება.
რა ასაზრდოებს სამხედრო კონფლიქტებში დამარცხებული ჯარისადმი საზოგადოების მაღალ ნდობას?
სწორედ იმ სიყვარულის გამო რომ მათ ძალიან ხშირად იბრძოლეს გმირულად უკან თობაზე მათ უარ სარეუბნება საქართველოს მოქალაქე.
უსმინეთ ყოველთვის შაბათ 19 საათზე სიხშირეზე FM